Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo. This is episode, I think it's 8, isn't it, of my guide dog diary. Sorry, I've not done one for a week, just slightly more. It's been a busy week, up and down, but I'll go back to last Friday, which was the 13th. And we did traffic in the morning, more traffic, and it was absolutely chucking it down with rain. It was revolting weather and it was freezing cold. So after that, we went back to the hotel and had a brew to warm up a bit. And then we did off-curb obstacles, which for those who don't know, they have their own that they bring out, and in a quiet estate near the hotel, they set them up, where Debbie set them up, and you go out and it was still chucking it down. I volunteered to go first. And you do them both directions. When you have an off-curb obstacle, when the road is on your right and you approach an off-curb obstacle, your dog will stop. Well, that's hopefully they will. Bruno did. You tell them up or forward or straight on, and hopefully they'll go to the curb to indicate that it's an obstacle that you can't get past on the pavement. They may just sort of hesitate again, and in which case you take them to the curb. So if the road is on your right, you put your right foot into the gutter, tell your dog to go forward, and then you advance your position up to the dog's shoulder or head, sort of, and tell them to find left to the curb, because you want them in the road for as little time as possible. If you're going the other way, you don't put your foot in the gutter. You can take your dog's lead in your right hand to encourage them right, so they're on the road for as little time as possible, and you tell them find right to the curb. If it's a car or something like that and you can feel it, then a lot of the GDMIs have no problem with you gently trailing the car, and then you know when to get back onto the curb, because you know you don't want to be doing off-curb obstacles on busy roads, but sometimes it's unavoidable. What Debbie said to me is that if I'm on a busy road and there's a car parked on the pavement, say, she said, drop your handle and trail it and walk through with your dog behind you. She said, as long as you don't work your dog through so it thinks it's okay to do narrow gaps. She said, I'd rather that than you went into the middle of a busy road and got knocked down, which is fair enough, really. Excuse me. So that was after that. On Friday we had lunch and then we just free ran the dogs. It was Nicholas's last day at the hotel, so I said bye-bye to him. And I gave him my email address so we can keep in touch. And on the Saturday, I had the Saturday off, but we free ran the dogs up at the hotel, which was nice. And then we had a social event, which we went to with More Vision. It was a swim and supper. Rob and I weren't swimming, but Jodie was. And then, but he just took it all in his stride. He was great. The advantage is that all the adults and kids are used to being around, you know, guide dogs and VIs and everything, so I was like letting the children stroke Bruno a little bit, but you know, they were really good and they weren't getting him too overexcited, so he took it all in his stride. Sunday was a quiet day, then the work began again. It has been, I'm not going to go through every day individually, there have been days where it's been really challenging, but I've been able to work everything out myself. Thursday, for example, we got assistance crossing a road, which was great. There was a guy up a ladder and he had to come down his ladder and move two ladders because he had two up at the wall. That was fine. And that day it was like there were lots of things, lots of challenges on the way, lots of things to work out, but we managed it. And I kind of came off that walk thinking, yeah, feeling quite optimistic and thinking, actually, I've learned a lot about myself and that I can problem solve, and that Bruno, you know, was quite positive with my encouragement and everything. There have been other days where loads of things seem to have gone wrong, where as you go out of our house, you go down four steps and then turn sort of 90 degrees right and there's one more step onto the pavement, and then you do a left turn and walk along. And if he spots Debbie, he starts jumping up at me like he's prattling about, almost like he's showing off, really, like a naughty school child. Like he's having the terrible twos, really. So getting him past that point, sometimes it's okay. We've worked out that if I ignore him, if I don't talk to him, don't tell him off, don't encourage him, nothing, just take the lead in my right hand, urge him on, that works better. But there have been days, there was a day we were walking down the road that's just off ours, and he was just prattling about, really. And I just turned to Debbie and I just like, can I go home, please? And she went, no, Jo. She said, you've got to do it. And I was sort of half joking, but I was half sort of. And she said, if I let you go home now, you'll never come out again. And I was like, yeah, no, I wouldn't have done. I felt so sort of a lot disheartened, really. And you know, you're thinking, well, it was all okay last week. It was going really well. And then it's just downhill. It's like a step backwards. But what people have said to me is that the third week of training is often likened to sort of the dog is, it's got into your routine, it knows your routine, it knows what it's doing, it's settled in at your home and it starts to test the boundaries. And one person even said, well, actually your dog's realising, realising that it's got to be a guide dog for the rest of its life and it's thinking, oh my God, but which is an interesting theory. I mean, what I'm learning is that I can work my way through these situations generally, most of them, 99% of them, I can work my way through them. And that's the big thing, that that being able to go on that walk and do that walk and be able to problem solve and not have to, you know, stand there. I haven't been brought to tears yet, which is a good thing. And I swear I won't. I said to Debbie, you won't see me, you know, you won't see me kind of break down or anything. And but she's been absolutely lovely, Debbie. She gave me a hug yesterday when we'd finished for the week. She said, come on, here's a hug. And she said, look, she said, you walked into town, you worked him into town. She said, yes, it might have been difficult, there might have been problems. She said, but you worked him. She said, I didn't. She said, you worked him through town. She said, and you got him, you worked him home again. And she said, there was very, very little input from me. She said, you did it. She said, it might not have been straightforward. It might not have been the walk that you would have liked or that you would have chosen. But at the end of the day, you did it. And she said, so you can be proud of yourself. And that was really encouraging because it was yesterday's walk was tricky because what had happened, Debbie had said that Rob could come out with us and walk with Debbie quite a way behind so that he could see when to, if we're out on a walk together in the early stages, when I qualify, Rob will then know when to intervene and when to leave me to work it out for myself because he can see the way Debbie does it. Because it's, you know, when you're somebody's husband or wife or, you know, friend or relative, whatever, it must be very difficult to not jump in and go, oh, you know, let me help. And it's that being able to stand back and watch. And obviously, like she said to Rob, you know, if you know that Joe's in trouble, then you intervene. You know, if you know something's going terribly wrong, then you intervene. She said, but, you know, let her and Bruno problem solve. So I think part of the reason yesterday was that Bruno could hear Debbie and Rob sort of chatting things through behind us. And I was probably feeling a little bit anxious about the fact that Rob was watching, even though we walk out and go for walks together all the time. But it was like I was on show, if that makes sense. And then to make matters bloody worse, I tell you, excuse my French, we're working through town and it's all going really well. And Bruno's finding everywhere he needs to find. And I felt this thing hit my back and I thought, oh, you are having a laugh. And when we went in the, and I thought, well, there's nothing I can do about it now. And I sort of ran my hand through my hair and I thought, well, no, it's okay, my hair's okay. And we got in the post office and Debbie went, if you're not having a bad enough day, Jo, she said, a seagull's just crapped all down your coat. And I was like, oh my God, I said, I thought it had. And I went, well, nothing I could do about it. It was all down my back. It was all over my left shoulder. I was not impressed because I thought everyone's going to be looking, thinking, oh my God. But anyway, we went in the cafe and had a brew, all three of us. And Bruno, obviously, but he didn't have a brew. And then the walk back was better. It wasn't too bad at all. So he's struggling with one of the pelican crossings. It's a pelican crossing where you've only got one post. It's an audio one. And basically, the post is on the right-hand side. So when I tell him to find the crossing, he's doing that absolutely fine. But he then has to cross over in front of me to find the post. And because the post is right on the edge of the curb and it's off the tactiles, it's really difficult. So we're working on that one at the minute. But the ones with the post on either side are much better. So that's, yeah, so that's been a challenge this week. Someone tried to run us over the other day. That was an interesting one. There's a road that we cross and if you slightly bear right, then you're off. And there's a path that leads up to this housing place for, I think it's for over 50s or something, sort of sheltered or whatever. And he'd slightly gone onto this path, so I knew exactly what I needed to do. I knew I needed to. It's almost like you do a U-turn, really. You come back on yourself, slightly round, and then back on the pavement. And it's fine, you know. If that goes wrong, that's okay. It's not too bad. And Debbie was hanging back, so she knew, she could see me thinking it through and lining myself up with traffic and everything, so I didn't go, because it's a main road that this other side road is on. So I was listening for the traffic and everything. And all of a sudden, I heard this bang, and then I heard she came up. She went, "Drop your handle, take me arm, Joe." And she said to this driver, this driver had been driving towards us slowly, and she was stood there and she thought, "He's going to stop in a minute." And then she went, "He's not going to stop." And he just carried on driving towards me and Bruno. So, of course, Bruno viewed it as traffic. He did exactly the right thing and he stopped. So Debbie banged on his on the back of this guy's car and shouted, "Stop." And she went up to me and she said, "It is not a good idea to drive towards a guide dog owner who is trying to work their guide dog." And he just came back at her and he went, "Well, I wouldn't have run them over." And she went, "Well, I should hope you wouldn't." But, of course, he couldn't. There was no room for this car to get past us. So it was like a stalemate. He was crawling towards us. Obviously, Bruno didn't want to move because he views it as traffic. I didn't then know kind of which way to go for the best. And he's still crawling towards us. So, God, there were a few choice words I have to say afterwards. And we laughed about it afterwards. But it was a bit, yeah, it was a bit bizarre, really. I mean, why would you do that? It was just ridiculous. But yeah, that was one challenge one day. So there've been lots of challenges this week. There have been good bits. There's been some brilliant work from Bruno, and I have to say there's been some good problem solving from me too. So I'm not going to be down on myself this week. So we're going to take the dogs for a free run this afternoon. We're going to take them up Mules Park, for anyone who knows Tynmouth. We took them on the beach the other day, actually, with Debbie's other dog, Trisha. And they had a really good run. But Bruno was trying to drink seawater. So the day after, needless to say, his toilet was not the best to pick up. We're not taking them on the beach today. We're going to take them at Mules Park, give them a good free run, because we've got a wedding reception to go to this evening. My friend Katie, whose hen night I went on the other week, it's her wedding today, so we're going to the reception tonight, so that'll be nice. But we're going to leave the dogs, so we left them for a little bit yesterday for the first time to see how they would be together, and they were absolutely fine, so we're happy to leave them tonight. But we're not going to leave them for too long, obviously. With guide dogs, you're not supposed to leave them for more than 3 or 4 hours, so it'll be the 4 hours, and then we'll be home on the 4 hours, so that's okay. Tomorrow I think is going to just be a relaxed one. Debbie's asked me to do the little bit of outside our house with Rob watching, just to see if I can get Bruno. Obviously I can't work him on my own yet, but with Rob with me, that's okay. So just on this side of the road on our pavement, to see if I can do it, so then we'll know if it is Debbie distracting, if he's distracted by Debbie, or if he's just prattling about because he's just gone out and it's like, oh, do I, you know, if he's mucking about. So at least I'll be able to work that out with Debbie not here, and Rob will help with that. If that's the case, that he's distracted by Debbie, on Monday I think Debbie's going to ring me up, because I'm going to text her this weekend and tell her what's been happening. So if it's the case that he's distracted by her, she's going to ring me up on Monday and she's going to hide somewhere. She'll still be there, but she's going to hide out of sight, and then me and Bruno can set off and see how we go. I don't know if anybody else's dogs were affected by the eclipse. Now, I'm not sure whether Bruno was, but yesterday, for anyone who doesn't know, there was an eclipse over here. I don't know whether any other countries would have been affected by it. I'm not honestly sure. So anyway, there was an eclipse, and it wasn't a total one. I think it was about 85-86% down here, they said. And in the morning, I went for my usual bath, and I walked in the bathroom, and you could hear all the seagulls squawking outside, and then all of a sudden it went quiet, and the seagulls obviously had gone to bed. So we were out, when we went out for the walk, and Bruno was prattling about and being a bit of a loon, really, jumping up a bit and just wasn't concentrating. And it was when Debbie was on her way to Bath to train Nicholas that she phoned me up and said that she'd been listening to Radio 2 and there was somebody talking about their dog, not a guide dog, but saying they always free run their dog at the same time. Every day they meet friends and free run their dog, and their dog had behaved in the most irrational way while the eclipse was on. Once the eclipse had gone, the dog settled and was ordinary again. So we were wondering whether that might have affected Bruno, even though it wasn't a total eclipse, but because dogs' senses are so heightened. So I'm interested, did anybody else notice? Was anyone else out and about with the dogs? Did you notice a difference in your dog's behaviour yesterday morning, sort of around between sort of 8:30 and 10, that kind of time really? The full effect of the eclipse was at 9:30, which is actually when we set off for our walk. So yeah, I'd be really interested if anybody's got any input on that. That would be great. So yeah, so I'm still training and I'm still optimistic, I'm still positive. It's been interesting to talk to friends who've qualified down here, and my friend Jenny and my friend Tracy, who I was out with last night. They've both qualified with their dogs down here, and it's great to talk to them and get their input and support as well, really. It's nice to talk things through. So I'm optimistic. I'm not being downhearted. There are going to be bad days. There'll be bad days when I qualify, you know. There'll be days when I think, oh, why did I do this? But I think every guide dog owner, if you're honest, probably goes through days like that, you know. But yeah, I'm looking forward to next week and seeing what happens. But I would say it's been a challenging week. But yeah, onwards and upwards, and we'll see what challenges next week has to offer. So I think I've kept that quite brief. I thought I won't go into every day, because you don't want to know that I walked into town every day and back again and through town and did shops, because that's just the same thing I'm telling you. So I'm just going to, from now on, I'm going to pick out bits I think that either were interesting or funny or went wrong. I think I've remembered most of the things. Socially, I would say in the house, Bruno is lovely, but he doesn't get out of the way. He just flops on the floor and he's like a rug. Now, I don't know if that's a retriever trait, because both my labs have always jumped up and got out of the way, but he'll get used to it. But he loves going outside. And the other day, our eldest cat, Sophie, was outside on the decking and it was sunny and she wouldn't let him up the steps. She just kept rolling on her back and sort of waving her paws at him, and he was a bit reluctant. But then she was up on the decking and rolling round, and he was up there as well. And it was like she wanted him to play, like she was teasing him, and he just really wanted to play. So we have got some photos. There's some photos on Facebook, for anyone who's my friend on Facebook, of there's Bruno with Sophie, there's Bruno on his own, and there's Bruno with Bonnie, both sat on the decking posing nicely. But yeah, he's quite funny. He goes on a mad one occasionally and run out of the house, round the decking and back in and down the stairs, then back up again. And yeah, he's quite funny. Bonnie's a bit quiet. She's still okay. She's with me now. In fact, they both are. I think she likes him, but I think because she's older, you know, she's 10 in a few days, it's probably, she doesn't want to be running around like an idiot. Although she enjoyed herself on the beach with him and Trisha the other day. But he does love her, because she was looking a bit left out before, so I leant forward and gave Bonnie a big hug, and I rolled her on her back and I was cradling her head, and Bruno leant forward and put his head on Bonnie's chest, and like he was saying, I like you, I really like you. So that's nice. And then a bit before that, but he'd sort of curled up and Bonnie put her head on his back, so that was nice. So they are friendly, they do get on, but I think because he's so young and sort of a bit giddy at times, that sort of probably, you know, Bonnie's thinking, oh, go away, leave me alone, you know, I'm older and wiser, you know. But our youngest cat, Mitzi, he is absolutely still fascinated with her, absolutely fascinated with her, which is really interesting. And she doesn't know to raise a paw at him. She doesn't know to kind of give him a bit of a tap or anything. So she puts up with whatever he does. So I'm just hoping he doesn't ever try and pick her up or anything. So far, so good. But they're all getting on well. And I say there are some pictures. We're going to put a picture up for the playlist here to go with this list of boos. So yeah, anyway, I'll leave it there. If I remember anything else that I think's interesting or, you know, amusing, I will come back and add to this. I can always do little short interludes. So I will speak to you all soon. I hope you're all having a nice weekend. Take care.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.